clubhouse.
Welcome to Interview with a Podcast, a Pod Clubhouse original. I'm Caroline from Daily Review.
And I'm Mike from Pop Culture Review. Each week on Interview with a Podcast, we sit down for a chat with a podcast or website and its creators.
Here at Pod Clubhouse, our main goal is to create a community of collaboration among podcasters and their friends.
If someone has something to say, has a passion for a topic, we want the Clubhouse to be a way for content creators to find their voice.
Through Interview with a Podcast, we'll be able to highlight a diverse array of podcasts from TV to music, movies to comedy.
Maybe it'll be a sports podcast one week, or a DIY home projects podcast. Hopefully we can help you discover the next must-listen-to true crime podcast.
Each episode gives you, the listener, a chance to meet and decide if their podcast is a fit for you.
That's right. We've got two goals here. With Interview with a Podcast, we hope to be a destination for listeners to get curated podcast recommendations. And for content creators, we hope to be an outlet to increase visibility and listenership. It's the rising tide lifts all boats approach to collaboration.
If there's a podcast you think we should feature on Interview with a Podcast, send us a DM and we'll see if we can set up an interview.
With that, I think it's time we get to this week's guest.
This is Caroline.
And this is Mike. Welcome to Interview with a Podcast. Today we're sitting down with Van Mitchell from The Commuter Line.
Hey guys, what's going on?
We're doing great. Big Rona time, so things are a little bit, you know, crazy. I was listening to your lockdown, lockout podcast episode and loving your strip down in the garage. I was laughing to myself and thinking, Emily needs to set up a little demon time on the Instagram live and get you some cash flowing in there.
That was a fun one. People kept begging me to tell that story, and I really didn't want to be honest with you.
Aren't you glad I brought it up right away at the beginning of this podcast?
Well, that was going to be one of the ones that I suggested down the road. So yeah,
it's
you beat
me
to it.
Tell us the name of your podcast and tell us, you know, some of your like regular co-hosts or guest hosts.
It's called Commuter Line. I have recurring guests, and it's kind of interesting the way it started because I started back in February. Each week is meant to be a different guest on the show within the aviation or airline industry. It started off real great. And then, of course, everybody got locked down. I've had Emily on the show, my wife, quite a bit, which actually has worked out pretty well. But we've kind of had an interruption in the interview arena just because I'm not set up virtually like everybody else in the professional podcasting world. A lot of my guests aren't set up that way. So that becomes a little bit of a challenge.
I have to say, though, Emily is fantastic and you're overlooking talent right under your nose if you don't keep her coming back.
It's so funny that you mentioned that because we've been getting some really good feedback with Emily on the show. Actually, our numbers are a lot higher whenever she's on. So she's on more and more now. And we're actually thinking of doing a spinoff show of our own. But we kind of need a little bit more than just the husband and wife sitting down and talking. There has to be another element in there.
Yeah.
And we've yet to figure out what that is.
I love that so much. I gotta say, she is talented. She is a smooth talking lady.
Well, I will let her know and she will appreciate that. Thanks for the feedback on that, by the way.
I think in Rona times, not killing each other while in quarantine is an excellent podcast idea. A lot of folks could probably use these days.
It's our time to actually sit down. So we don't get to talk that much because I travel for a living and she stays at home and homeschools the kids and she's drained by the end of the day. So by the time the kids go to bed, it's our time to actually sit down and talk. So that's actually been really good for us. We're actually enjoying that.
That you travel a lot kind of feeds into what your podcast is about. So can you tell us a little about what is Commuter Line about?
Absolutely. Originally, it was to be structured exclusively for all types of commuters, like, you know, 9-to-5 drivers on the highway, rail commuters on the subway and trains and frequent flyer of the airlines. That was originally what it was meant to be. I quickly realized, though, that that's a pretty broad scope. And so most of my guests that joined me on the show were in the aviation industry. I quickly evolved the show then into something that centered around both pilots and frequent flyers of the airlines. So now that's kind of our niche going forward. And of course, it's interesting that only a couple weeks after I launched a show specifically for commuters, I lost all my commuters. You know,
of all the luck, Rona.
In a matter of days, my show became absolutely obsolete. It's pretty funny if you think about it. Like I said, having my wife on the show, we were kind of forced into that, but it actually worked out to be a great thing for us and gave us some possibilities and opportunities for the future.
How is the podcast evolving right now in terms of like the reason why you started it and when you started it to where you are right now?
So it originally came out every week. Right now we're doing a fortnightly kind of thing. So every 2 weeks, it's evolved more into a current events type thing because with the airlines being so volatile at the moment, every single week, almost every hour, there's new information that comes out. So where we were doing shows with guests that talked about their experiences on the road, well, they can't come here and do that now. So now it's evolved into current events. And every week there's something to talk about, and we're really trying to make things positive. It's really, really tough to put a positive spin, because I think the last thing people want to do is download something that all they're doing is talking about this virus thing. I think people need a little bit of a break, and it's almost impossible to avoid it completely, but we're really trying to put a positive spin on it, and it's getting really tough since everything is just absolutely tanking out there right now.
I think you're absolutely right. People definitely need to focus less on like the news and just get some, you know, levity back in their life. It's been so bleak for so long. How do you then, especially in this new environment, kind of think about putting your show together for the next episode? How are you drawing your topics, picking what you're going to talk about?
Work. I'm out there every day doing it. Despite what people may think, every week I'm out flying. I'm gone. Shoot, man, I was gone 18 days in April. Work for me really hasn't slowed down. And so I actually get a chance to go out there and see what the load numbers are, see what people's attitudes are. I know when airlines are putting forward the mask rules because, you know, I'm walking in the terminals and I'm having to abide by them. So I'm really getting most of my news from the actual line, talking to other pilots and finding out what's new. That's really the most current news you're going to get, rather than just doing a Google search, because everything's true on Google and Wikipedia, you know?
That's where I get all of my news from. Do you know there are aliens living among us?
I heard.
There are. They're all over the place.
You must see them up in the sky. You probably are dodging.
That's it. They're right in front of the green screen.
That's probably a whole issue, right? Like trying to dodge the UFOs and whatnot. I can imagine that's a big part of pilot school.
We just close our eyes. That's what they teach us.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Don't ask, don't tell kind of thing.
Just a couple of weeks ago, I put out an episode called The Unexplained. And while we're not gung-ho, there's aliens everywhere, we talk about it. We talk about all these sightings that everybody's seen in the past and everything. And we really, really want it to be true. But no, we don't think it's a real thing, but we want it to be real.
So getting into your podcast.
I'm actually coming out bi-weekly right now.
Nice. Fantastic. Yes. That's great. That's a weird silver lining of Rona times for us, is that we're able to put out a bunch more podcasts.
Well, I have to back up just a little bit, Caroline, because...
Please do.
When I say bi-weekly, apparently bi-weekly means twice a week and also every other week.
That is true. We have had
when
that
I say
discussion,
bi-weekly,
right?
Yes, right. I mean every other week is what I'm doing. So every 2 weeks right now.
That's good clarification. So you guys are coming out every other week. That's good for your listeners to know. And do you guys tend to come out on the same day, or is it just sort of like sometime during the week?
I try to release every Sunday night. Sometimes I do it a little bit earlier, but my original goal was to release something so they have something in the car at 9 a.m. on Monday morning. Nice. To listen to, even though nobody's driving anymore. We're still going right. to keep doing that for them, and we're going to stay on schedule.
Though, I don't know about you. I sit out in the car for a while. Come back.
You have to.
Yeah, I mean, the Dunkin' Donuts is only a block away from my apartment, but I still, you know, get in the car and drive there just so I can feel like my old self again.
You got to put your shoes on every once in a while, right? Or else it just messes with you.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Have you had any memorable moments so far? Any kind of like, that really turned out so much better than I expected kind of podcast?
That's actually a really good question. I had my father on. You know him well. I got a chance to speak with him right before this lockdown happened. And he really gave some good insight as to what travel was actually like back in the 70s and 80s. We kind of forget that those were the golden days of travel. And well, in some respects, but in other respects, you know, there was smoking on airplanes. So you have that battle to deal with. Well, today you have the seats are too close together and people are reclining in front of your face. Back then it was the guy in front of you is smoking and you have to, you know, angle your air vent to blow the smoke away. He brought up a lot of really interesting things that people just don't experience today on the airlines. And it turned out better than I thought it was going to, because he came with all these stories and I'm like, man, just tell me more stories.
That's awesome. Your dad's a good talker, so I feel confident that he could fill your podcast with lots of good stuff. And also being like a fellow pilot, right? It's in a different way, but still having his pilot license and whatnot, he must know kind of some of the stuff that you go through. Do you find that to be true in those conversations?
He is. He understands how the industry works, which is one of the reasons that I had him on. So he understands what we go through, and he understands what we've been up against in the past. And of course, that's coming about here in the next couple of months. It looks like we're going to have to go through another one of those hard times in the industry, and he gets that. So he was able to really follow along with the conversation and almost lead the conversation in a lot of different areas simply because he has that experience.
If you were turning into your podcast for the first time, I'm flipping through Apple Podcasts, I come across Commuter Line, what would you recommend to someone who's listening to you for the first time as an episode that stands out, as a good entry point into Commuter Line?
Oh, boy. Caroline already brought this one up. If you want to hear about me running around the hallway in the Doubletree in my skivvies, I can definitely recommend an episode called Lockdown versus Lockout. That's a real fun one. It's nice and light, and I think people need fun and light right now in these times. But as far as all the episodes I have out there, I have 11 of them out right now. I did one a week for the first 10 weeks, and now I'm once every other week, as we already said. But you don't really have to listen in any particular order, which is what's great about it. You don't have to start with number one to understand what's going on with number 11. So whatever looks good to you, title-wise or description-wise, go ahead and click on it. It's probably going to be something that you like, and you're going to be able to follow along with very easily because everything is set up mostly in layman's terms. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to listen to us or to understand how certain things work up in the cockpit. Actually, there's another one out there. I think it's episode number 4. It's called Cockpit Q&A. That really gives a good description of why we do certain things up front in the airplane. You know, if it's a clear, perfect day outside and your flight's canceled, what the heck? Why is my flight canceled? It's perfect outside. Well, there's other things that are going on behind the scenes and other domino effects that happen. And we go into explaining a lot of those types of things in that episode as well. So those two are probably the best ones that I'd recommend.
That was actually the first one that I listened to. That was my entry point. I love behind the scene things. So when I saw that and I had an idea what the podcast was about, I was like, oh, that's where I'm going to go to first. And it was exactly what I was looking for. I can attest that it is a good entry point episode.
And we're thinking of doing it again. We got so much good response on that episode that people want to hear Emily again. They want to hear her asking these questions. And so we're putting together another series of questions to talk about. And I'm asking her just to kind of keep it to herself. I don't want to hear these questions up front so I can give the most honest answer that I possibly can. And so expect in the next couple of weeks for another one of those to come out for sure.
Oh, I think I'm going to have to submit a question to you.
I want you to.
Please do.
I have got a bunch.
You know what? Okay, so that leads me to a different question, Van, about the idea of why are you so well-equipped to answer questions about flying? Like, you've had a myriad of jobs within the industry. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of your other things other than just like commercial flying? Is there anything else that you feel like you've done that maybe would be of interest so that people know what kind of questions they could submit?
Oh my gosh, you can ask anything. I, of course, started flying when I was 6 months old, not up front, but I was in the back. And of course, you know, my dad has been a pilot since the 70s and he's always taken me flying as a little kid. And so it's just been part of my life for so long that I can't imagine any part of my life without aviation. I started off about 13 years ago professionally to where I started making a paycheck. I went everywhere from flying for radio stations in the Dallas area, flying for Cessna dealerships. I sold planes. I brokered planes. I flew cargo in the middle of the night. I flew for Fortune 500 companies. And now, of course, I'm at the airline. So I've done every type of aviation that you can possibly think of, just short of flying to the moon. I've done quite a bit. If there's anything you're curious about, and sometimes it's hard to ask a question that you don't have any education on. You know, you don't know what questions to ask. But I would encourage anybody, even if you think it's a dumb question, definitely email me. I'll give you that at the end of the show too.
Do you feel like you have any like celebrity type background that you've flown with anyone that people might be of interest? I don't know if you don't have to specifically give a name, but you could say like a celebrity might have once did this.
Oh, you're fishing now, aren't you?
I am so fishing and I don't know why you're not biting.
Harrison Ford was probably one of the most memorable flights that I did. I spent a couple days with him flying around Nashville and Chattanooga and that Tennessee area. That was a lot of fun. He bought a plane from a company that I used to fly for, and I spent a couple of days doing transition training with him. On the charter side, you know, out of Van Nuys, California, we got to fly a lot of really great people. Adam Sandler is exactly what you would expect. He's just a huge dork. He just wants to have fun. I remember he came up to the cockpit once, and we were flying to a wedding up in New Hampshire. And he comes right up, and of course, I didn't know he was there, and he just taps me on the shoulder, and he goes, "Hey, how much longer we got?" I said, "Oh, we got about 4.5 hours to go," and he just goes, can you floor it? I said, well, I don't know. We can't go much faster than this, but I can guarantee I'll get you there in 4.5. He goes, well, okay, can I get you anything to drink? I mean, he's just such a nice guy, and he's as funny as you would expect. And the reason why he is so successful is all he has to do is act like himself.
He strikes me as someone who would push a lot of buttons, whether or not he asked permission. Just flip
just come up, you're like, what does this do? Yeah.
What does this button do now?
Oh my gosh,
that's so funny. That's all we heard the whole time. That's him. Yeah, for sure.
Oh my God.
Were you teaching Harrison Ford to fly, or you were just flying him around? You're sitting there, like, you know, giving him lessons. I was like, that's awesome.
I was doing something called transition training. There's all sorts of different airplanes all over the place. I can't just go step in an airplane that I've never seen before and never been in and jump in and fly it. I can probably get it up and probably get it down, but it's not going to be very safe and not very efficient. So if you're ever transitioning to another type of airplane that's a completely different, has a different engine or a different wing or a different airframe or a different avionics package, I do something called transition training if I have experience in that airplane. So he bought something called a 182, a Cessna 182, from a Cessna dealership, and I flew it out to him in Chattanooga, and he took one look, and he says, I have no clue what I'm looking at. And I said, hey, you want to spend a couple of days flying around? I says, I'll show you everything. You'll be good to go.
That's awesome.
So we spent a couple of days working together.
All right, I have a professional question to ask you.
Sure.
I'm choosing this to do it. Be aware you may be crushing some dreams if it doesn't, depending on your answer.
Uh-oh.
I was a big fan of Microsoft Simulator 1995.
Me too.
I spent a lot of time. I was obsessed with planes at the time. I never successfully landed anything, though, without crashing and destroying whatever plane they gave me. Does that bode well for my chances to make it as a pilot, do you think?
Just like Windows 95, things have come a long way since Windows 95. If you were to download something now, man, I haven't spent much time on those simulators. Gosh, it's probably been 10, 15 years before I've actually sat down and seen what they have these days. But things have come a long way. And no, I wouldn't say because you crashed on a video game, which is exactly what it is, that you're going to have any problems flying the real thing. If you're sitting pull back as hard as you can on the stick on a computer, you can't feel the G-forces. You can't feel the wind rushing by the window to know how fast you're going or what the airplane's doing. You know, there's a lot about hearing and feel and peripheral vision that you just don't get looking at a computer screen. So I wouldn't worry. Go hop in an airplane and take a lesson, man. You're going to be good.
And you just saved literally like 2 decades worth of unrequited dreams. Thank you, Van.
Yeah, but I emptied your pocketbook now. That's the problem.
He's like, dear diary, I don't know if I can handle this. The pressure of the video game is really getting to me.
Hey. Those flat green pastures come up at you very fast. When you come in too fast and too tilted.
I have quite a bit of experience with that as far as stuff coming up really quick. I remember back in, oh gosh, I feel so old throwing out a date like I'm a 90-year-old man.
You don't have to. We're very sensitive about not amongst ourselves.
Oh, good. Well, back in 2007, I used to be a flight instructor. And I was flying something called a Grumman Cheetah. If anybody wants to look it up, they're more than welcome to. It has one of those throwback canopies that you slide back. And we were up flying around. The engine quit. I was teaching something called pitch for airspeed and power for altitude. And I asked the student, who was 13 years old on his first flight, by the way, I said, how do you think you make the airplane go up? He goes, oh, just pull back on the wheel, right? I said, no, throw that power and the nose is going to go up on its own. He goes, really? Yeah, go ahead and throw it in. So he throws the power in and the engine dies. Oh my God. And so down we go and we landed in a little wheat field and we had to have the farmer plow us a runway to get out. Yeah, it was about 12, 13 years ago.
Oh my God.
A tiny little plane. I'm looking at a picture of it right now.
Yeah, and they drop like a rock. The wing on that thing does not provide a ton of lift if the engine's not working.
It looks like someone took my son's toy plane and like used like a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids ray on it and just blew it up a little bit.
Oh my God. Paul took a flying lesson via Groupon. Already, we should all feel concerned. He said that when he got up there, he felt like it was a lawnmower with wings.
That's pretty much what it is.
And I was like, that sounds frightening. He did this when I was away and didn't tell me until I was back that he had done this. And I was like, that was very wise. I feel I would have like been like, what the hell are you doing?
It's quite safe if everything's working just fine. And most of the time it is. Needless to say, the student that I was flying did not come back. That was his first and last lesson.
One and done, huh?
That's it.
Do you feel like there is someone out there who you'd like to have sit in as your co-pilot and be a part of the podcast that would just blow your socks off?
Yes, absolutely. Somebody that I could sit down and talk to on the couch with a beer for days is my grandfather. Still alive to this day. He'll be 94 in August, and his mind is still sharp as a tack. In fact, I really do need to get him in here. And even if we don't publish an episode with him, I need to have him on a recording. Problem is, the shows go about, 45, 50 minutes long on average. And I think we're going to have to split him up into, I don't know, four or five different shows just to be able to get them all in. But the great thing about him is he's a World War II veteran. He flew in the Philippines. He did a lot of flying on the airlines back in the golden days in the 1950s and 60s and 70s, back when they took those World War II airplanes, like those, they're called DC-3s. They were troop carriers, and they repurposed them to airliners in the 50s. He was flying on a lot of those, and he has so many great stories. Every time he opens his mouth, it's something new. And yeah, I'd really like to have him on for sure.
Is that a forerunner of like the DC-10? Is that like the same family?
It's the same family, but it is wildly, it's on the complete opposite end of the spectrum. Yeah, I don't even know where to begin with that. But if you look up on Google, since you can find anything there, look up DC-3 and look up DC-10, and you'll see why I'm saying they're so different. But yeah, same company.
To the Google.
Yes, to the Google.
It's very Batman, like to the Google.
So I want to toss a question out that we didn't actually prep you for or give you a heads up about that occurred to me while we're sitting here. So we cover here at Pod Clubhouse, we cover a lot of movies, we cover a lot of TV shows, a lot of pop culture things. As a pilot, what is a favorite, mostly movie, I guess, but any kind of pop culture movie, TV show that deals with flying that either you like the most or you feel like got it right the most about what it feels like to be a pilot?
Flight with Denzel Washington, because it's all real. It all happened. That was a joke.
We're both like, what?
That's disturbing. Where he flips upside down, right?
And also is like on the drugs, no?
Yes, he is. They went a little bit overboard on that. Nobody's going to sit there and pour a screwdriver while they're talking to the passengers. But,
no. You
know, there's a lot of good ones out there. There's smash 'em up movies that are fun to watch. You know, Top Gun is fun to watch, although it's not accurate on how dogfighting works. Pearl Harbor is fun to watch, but you know, you're kind of watching all these flying scenes and they don't make any sense. They just kind of defy physics, and you're looking at it and you're going, oh wait, but okay, I'll let you have that one. Oh no, wait, over here. No, I'll let you have that one too. There's ones that just, they're about to tell a great story, and then for some reason, whatever scientific advisor or aviation advisor they have just doesn't do it justice. But probably the best one that I can think of, I actually have two that I can think of that are pretty good. Sully, about, you know, the landing in the Hudson. They actually did a really good job with that. They took everything from the cockpit voice recorder, and Tom Hanks, almost word for word, did a great job delivering all of that. That was pretty on point. I was pretty happy with that, because I'm pretty critical with aviation movies, as you can probably tell. The other one that I like centers around the World War II area. It's called Dunkirk.
Oh.
And while that's not an aviation, I'm using the air quotes right now, while that's not an aviation movie per se, the scenes with the Spitfires actually hit home with a lot of people who understand what went on. I could go into lots of detail talking about how well Christopher Nolan put that together, except at the very end, which I'm not, you know, no spoiler alerts. At the very end, there was an energy management thing that I kind of wondered if it was something that was possible. But the rest of it, they did a great job putting it together, and it really hit home for a lot of the World War II pilots out there. Not many of them left.
As a New Yorker, I am very happy you brought up Sully Sullenberg. I was hoping he would come up at least once in this, so I'm happy that you picked up this movie. You and I may not be able to be friends, though, because you didn't use Airplane as one of the examples of best flight movies ever.
I was wondering.
That's clearly the most accurate.
Obviously. You got Kareem, and then you have the little inflatable pilot.
That's right. And who's the lady from Brady Bunch that speaks Jive?
Barbara Billingsley speaks
That's
Jive.
That's her. There you go. There you go. Look who I'm talking to. Yeah.
She's actually from Leave It to Beaver, though.
Oh, she is. Oh, wow. No, you're absolutely right. If you could put an X over my head right now,
oh, no.
That would
Florence Henderson
yeah.
is your Brady Bunch lady. But I do have to ask you this, because this is something, first of all, obviously, we're going to have to create a little podcast action with you, a little crossover with the commuter line for some entertainment airplane movies, for sure, where you tell us some business behind the scenes, because that would be tons of fun.
Oh, I'd love to.
What is new coming out, or like a would be great if we can move the podcast this direction for the commuter line?
That's a really good question. I don't know.
Well, so the sky's the limit, might one say?
Yes, it is. Oh, wow, nice pun. Yeah, very nice.
You like that? You could say the commuter line, the sky's the limit, right under that. Feel free to take that.
The good thing is, the great thing is about this show, and I've kind of touched on it a little bit at the beginning here, is that this has been a really good training ground for me. If you go to episode one and then listen to the very last episode, the most current one that we have out, you're going to see a big difference. The description of that is me learning how to use the different types of technology that I didn't know how to put all this stuff together 4 or 5 months ago. I was learning how to put together formats. I was learning how to do monologue formats, co-hosting, interviews. It's not as easy as just sitting down and talking into a microphone, as you guys know. It takes a while to get used to talking into this thing. And I was very self-conscious at the very beginning. This show provided that for me. I'd love to keep this show going, but it's already helped me build on some more ideas for even different types of shows down the road. But this is very near and dear to my heart. I love the industry that I'm in. There's always plenty to talk about. You know, right now I'm just going to focus on good content. I think that's where I need to stay in order to build a nice, loyal listener base for the future. I tell people that want to come on the show, I said, I'd love to have you over here. They go, great, but I'm not sure you could afford me. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you half of my sponsorship payout for the next episode. Oh, great, how much is that? And I say zero, because I just don't have any of that lined up right now. And that's not my main focus. Hopefully in the future, I can keep building great content. I'm really relying on a lot of the listeners for that, on what they want to hear. So I encourage people to email me. Let me know what you want to hear. Let me know what you've heard already that you want to hear more of. Thank you, Mike, for bringing up the cockpit Q&A, because we will do that again.
Where can people find you and find Commuter Line? Where can they listen to it? Where can they interact with you? Email addresses, social media?
Absolutely. So I'm on Instagram and Twitter as The Van Mitchell. And you can also email me at van@thecommuterline.com. You can reach me at all those places. We're on iTunes. We're on Google. We're on Spotify. All the ones that you can download a podcast, we're on them. Search Commuter Line in the subject line. It's two words. The Commuter Line, I'm not sure, will actually pop up. It may. But if you just search two words, Commuter Line, we'll pop up. And we're kind of a nice-looking rainbow color with a sunset and a train and a bus and an airplane. And you'll be able to recognize us right away.
Love that.
Do you have any more questions for me?
I do have a specific question about why do pilots have to continuously interrupt my entertainment when they have to tell me that I'm at like a certain amount of feet, and also what the weather is? You're interrupting the movie.
You know what? I know. And sometimes I'm actually sitting in the back. They call it a deadhead. I'm going from one place to another. And the last thing I want to hear when I'm watching my Netflix, we call it dozing for dollars, but a lot of us actually sit back there and watch the Netflix. But they always come on. We know they're going to come on at 10,000 feet on the way down. We know they're going to come on 10,000 feet on the way up. It's actually in our operations binder. We actually have to deliver the news to you. Whenever we turn that fasten seatbelt sign on or off, we have to say something.
It's crazy. I feel like there should be a petition where we can be like, we trust you that you're at 10,000 feet. Just, it's cool, man. It's cool. Don't stop me in the middle of a Schitt's Creek episode, please.
Do you remember when American Airlines, I don't know if you've ever flown on them, and it's been a while since I've ridden on American, but they used to constantly promote their credit card. and they would not stop talking about it. And they would go around, and they would hand out all their credit card applications and everything for their points and their miles. It was like a 6 or 7 minute spiel. And all of us are always looking at each other going, every single flight.
It's like timeshare. Like, I don't want to be a part of your timeshare, American.
JetBlue actually does that now.
Is that right?
They spend a lot of time on that last 10,000 feet pitching the credit card and handing out the applications up and down the aisle.
Oh my gosh, drives me nuts.
It's good to know that pilots also like are not really that interested in telling us about like it's 80 degrees like somewhere where we're not.
We have this thing at our company where if we're the ones flying that leg, we say hello before we push back from the gate. And if you're not flying, you're the one that says goodbye. And like I said, it's in our ops manual. We have to say it. I don't want to try to come up with something new to say every single time because sometimes I'm doing four legs a day. So I tell you what the weather is there. I tell you how much longer we have to know. I know you don't care, but guess what, Caroline? You're going to hear it and you're going to like it.
You know, I've listened to your podcast to know that you appreciate people just following the rules. And I will shut off my phone because you told me to shut off my phone, not because I know now about all the different reasons why it could or might have ever affected the equipment, but just because the pilot said so. That seems like that should be on the cockpit door. Do it because the pilot said so. Would that work out for you?
We could talk about this all day long. But there's a seems to be a huge lack of respect for authority. And I'm not saying that I'm an authority figure, but let me have that moment when I'm doing my job. If we tell you to shut it off, please just shut it off. You can run your phone for the next 22 hours of the day. You're right. Just do it. And I appreciate you doing it.
I was listening to your podcast, and if I didn't know you were a pilot, the thought sprang to my mind, he's got a very soothing voice like a pilot. There's a pilot voice that is a very reassuring voice. It's the voice you want to like get bad news from if you're going to have to get bad news. And you very much have that voice. So I found your podcast like very relaxing. So even if you're just looking at distress and you don't really care about the behind the scenes life of a pilot, I would go listen to Commuter Line because it's very, very relaxing.
Super zen.
Very zen, yeah. You know, you just like a couple sitars and in the background and, you know, you basically have an audible spa.
Well, Van, this has been enlightening. I feel like I know a lot more about the industry and I feel like I'm very intrigued and I'm going to sit down and write a buttload of questions to send over to Commuter Line to get answered about what is up with my travel situation. I'm super glad you were with us here today. This is Caroline.
This has been Mike. Thanks for listening to Interview with a Podcast, Commuter Line.
Thank you for listening. This has been an original Pod Clubhouse production. Pod Clubhouse is a podcast network dedicated to encouraging collaboration among podcasters and friends to bring a fresh voice and diverse perspective on a wide array of content. Please visit and leave a comment for us at podclubhouse.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast feeds on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find us at Pod Clubhouse. Our DMs are always open, and we'd love to hear from you.
Pod Clubhouse.